Welcome to Syntax. On this Monday Hasty Treat, we're going to be exploring some ideas on how you can explore your ideas in coding. We're going to be talking about all the different ways you can get up and running quickly with demos to explore any ideas that pop into your head. Hey, you thought of something in CSS? You got to get it down on paper really quick. That way you don't forget it. You can maybe validate your idea before tossing it into a real project. We're going to be talking all about services you can use to do this or just ways that we like to do this ourselves. My name is Scott Talinsky. I'm a developer from Denver. With me as always is Wes Boss.
Hey, excited to talk about this. I think it's kind of important to know how to, if you have an idea or if you have a problem, being able to quickly get that up and running somewhere with quick feedback and to see how it works is really key. Both if you're trying to send a demo to somebody else, or if you just like see a new API, you hear about us talk about it on Syntax and you want to try it out, that 0 to 60 of like, I'm up and running with this type of thing is really important. Cause I don't know about you, because if it's too hard, then I'll just like, ooh, you want to go ride bikes?
Yeah. You know what the worst thing in the world is? You're sitting there, you have a seed of inspiration. You're like, oh, I got to try this out. This is going to be so exciting. You sit down, you start to install a build process or create a React app or, you know, use Vite or whatever. Then you spend some time getting your tooling up and running. You pick your framework and you start to code on it. And then you're just like, all right, I'm tired. I'm ready for a nap. And it's not like it's that hard, but like when you have an idea, it's really nice to be able to just start working on that idea at that moment. And maybe it's just because I'm hyperactive, but if I don't like get that idea out of my brain, I begin to like really get distracted and start to think about something else really quickly. So there's a number of things that we can do both online and in little services here, as well as we're going to be talking about code platforms you can have for yourself. You set it up once and then you can use it for all your own demos. We're even going to be talking about easy ways to work with data as well. But before we get going, if that little idea that you have blossoms into a massive project, you're going to want to throw Sentry on that thing to make sure that you're tracking all of your errors and exceptions. So head on over to sentry.io/syntax. Sign up and get 2 months for free for really the best platform for error tracking, performance management. I mean, we find so many different little things, either whether it's like slow database queries, slow pages, caching opportunities, or bugs. And now we're tracking metrics with this new metrics API that's in beta. So we can check anytime. It's like analytics. Anytime anybody listens to a specific episode, we can know about which episodes are being clicked on, and we can track listens on our own website rather than having to reach for Google Analytics or even a third-party service for that. And you can tie it all in together with the rest of your Sentry information. It's really pretty slick. So yeah, let's get on into it and let's talk about, I think a good place to start would be JavaScript services, because a lot of us are writing JavaScript. That's like a big part of this podcast. So if you need an idea down on paper, and maybe it's just that you're learning JavaScript and you have an idea for like technique, or maybe you want to see if something works, or maybe you have some data and you just want to iterate over it, there's a number of quick services you can use to just get this going. In fact, many of these people have either been on the show or we've talked to them before. And one of these services is Valtown. And Valtown is a really great social network. And this really is more of a social coding platform than I would even say GitHub is, because it's very social. You can write these little snippets, you can execute them, you can import other people's little snippets, and the interface
is really cool.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's so cool. They said it's if GitHub gists could run and AWS Lambda was fun. It rhymes. And honestly, it's great. And I just thought they got a big funding round too. So Valtown's not going anywhere if you were concerned about that. It's a really cool little site here.
Yeah. If you ever find yourself being like, man, I would love to run a scraper, or I would love to interact with the Spotify API and pull once a day, email myself my top tracks, or like literally anything, Valtown has a lot of like little built-in libraries. You can require other people's libraries. You can run cron jobs. And it's really cool. It's just like the barrier to entry is the lowest it's ever been with Valtown. And I think that's what makes it really cool for anyone who just wants to get something up and running really quickly, you know, because if you're not, using something like Valtown, then you gotta, so you need a front end, you need a back end, you need to host it somewhere, you need to like restart the thing. You got an NPM install, there's CI. There's quite a bit to this type of thing, especially like when it goes past fiddling around, which is most of what I do with this type of stuff. It's just fiddling around, but it goes past to like, I actually want to run this every once a day or when people visit the URL.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really pretty fantastic. And when you think about platforms like this, you wonder if like all the ideas have been explored, considering it's like, what else could you do beyond a REPL? And I think this is like a really unique approach to solving this problem. And I think it really succeeds. Another thing in the same kind of world is Observable HQ. And they kind of brand themselves as being the best place to write dashboards. But it's really more than that. We talked a little bit ago about writing like Jupyter notebooks with TypeScript and JavaScript. Yeah. Like, what is the good flow for that? I think Observable HQ is the best flow for that. And that's really what it is, more so than building dashboards. I mean, it gives you basically ability to write and then drop in code snippets, and maybe they're pivoting to be more a dashboard type of service. Maybe that's where their marketing is headed. But it's a really, really good product too on top of that. You use Markdown, and then you can toss in JavaScript, SQL, Python, R, any languages in there, and have like little mini apps in your code. It's really cool.
Yeah. The notebooks thing is really interesting to me, because I've had this problem for quite a long time, and we even have it a little bit with the show notes right now, is that we want a good note-taking experience that is like uses Markdown, right? Like when I plan a course, I write all my notes in Markdown. But then I also have a whole bunch of demos and stuff that goes along with the course, you know? And some of those are front-end demos, and some of those are server-side demos. And for the longest time, the way to do this in the Python world was this thing called Jupyter Notebooks, which is what Observable HQ is built on top of. And I've always looked at that, and it's extremely big in the like data science world, because the data science world can be like, here we're looking at a process for grouping like elements into filtering them into groups. And then it will just like immediately next line, a chunk of code, import some data, shows how you loop over it. And then below it, you can actually click the button and run it and see the actual output of it. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of what I want, right? You know, I kind of want to be able to write my Markdown, and I want to be able to like author my TypeScript or whatever in my code editor and get all the stuff that I'm used to, and then also run it in the same go. And for the longest time, I was like, we need this for JavaScript. And there was a couple hacks, and Observable HQ works, but like it doesn't work locally. And that's always the killer for me with these things, is like, I just want my editor, you know, like I want to feel comfortable. I want to be home. I don't want to use some other website where I don't have all my snippets and linters and everything totally built in. But a couple days ago or a couple months ago, Dino announced support for Jupyter Notebooks, meaning that with Jupyter Notebooks, like the idea is like you have this IQMBD file, it's some weird extension, and you write your notebook in there. And then when you want some code, you add a code block and you can write the code in there. But how it actually runs is via the cores. And you can now, Dino has a core where you can run your server-side JavaScript via Dino, and then it will pass back to you either data, or you can decide how the output is displayed. But one of the things you can pass back is HTML or React components or charts, or like there's all these different ways you can display the data that gets passed back in a Jupyter notebook. So I dipped into it for a weekend at one point, and I still haven't like moved my whole process over to it, but pretty excited about that type of thing. I don't know if that's really like it's more of like a note-taking experience for me versus like making demos, but very excited about it.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. I love that. It feels like that's where Dino is exploring and really evolving the platform, right? Whether that is their new package manager or stuff like this, they're really, I think they're exploring some cool areas. I honestly have never heard of this until just now. I think that's pretty neat. You know, one other thing I really like is small REPLs and playgrounds for various projects. You know, the one that I think of as being, you know, definitely a trendsetter here is the Svelte REPL on svelte.dev. If you go to svelte.dev, you can click examples and see a bunch of examples and mess with them, or you can click REPL and have essentially a, you know, a code pen, code sandbox style REPL here and just start writing Svelte. And I think this went a long ways for people who had never used Svelte to see it in action and be like, quickly, without installing anything, without writing this on your own code. And since then, a lot of other folks have done this as well. I know Solid has a playground like this, but many other people, Tailwind, etc., they have playgrounds. And that to me is like a really nice thing, especially the playground works the best when you can log in with GitHub and you can just save it right there. That way you can have a catalog of every exploration you've ever done. Or if you have bugs in the thing you're writing, you can share it with folks on the development teams there. But I use the Svelte REPL all the time for validating ideas, definitely. And beyond that, if you want to take that into a more simple path, I would say CodePen is the one that you see being most used for CSS-based stuff. And CodePen has a really great community. Granted, you can write JavaScript, HTML, and CSS in CodePen, but I think where CodePen really shines is the community around what people are building and the fact that there is sort of blog-like aspects of CodePen where you can see in code the most popular projects of any given week. You can see visually, aesthetically, and a little embed how cool they are. And then you can say, ooh, I want to explore that and maybe take that idea. You can quickly fork it and quickly start using it. So to me, that's really where CodePen shines, is that this social sharing aspect and inspiration aspect. If you're looking to like, how can I do cool stuff? You end up following the people who do cool stuff and then see how they did it. Bingo, bango, you're learning all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. And I know CodePen's working on like a CodePen 2.0 or something like that. I've heard rumblings of it. So excited to see what they come out with as well. Because like there's a million like VS Code in the browsers, you know, IDX, StackBlitz, CodeSandbox, Gitpod, REPLit. There's 10,000 of those things. And they all have their own like benefits. I know they're not exactly all the same, but like I go to those places to put my bugs. And I go to CodePen to like find inspiration and like I look for buttons and share cool CSS things that I'm doing with people.
Yeah, they're not the same in that regard, which is funny because you could make a strong argument that something like REPLit or CodeSandbox or any of these things, StackBlitz, Gitpod, they're all, you could make an argument that they're better. Because it's you got your backend support, you got IDE, you got your full standard kind of like web experience or editor experience that you might be used to, and in that regard, the tools are better. But like the social aspects make CodePen really one of the better services for exploring and getting inspired visually. So those are many of the different services you might want to use if you're just quickly spinning up a project. But again, I might even stay away from some of the full stack ones, you know, unless you're like really writing features for the full stack application. Because when you're exploring an idea or you're putting together a demo or you're trying out something, the less code you have to write to do anything, the better. The less code you have to be responsible for, the better. If you're getting bogged down in installation or versions or any of this stuff, you're going to hate yourself. So you really want to have as minimal of a setup as possible. And this is where I think Wes's idea really shines here. So Wes is the demo king. He's been doing hot tip demos since most of us were in diapers, right? And so... in that regard, he has this hot tips repo, which we'll share, and you can certainly fork this thing. It's really amazing, and you can see exactly how he creates all of his demos. I took his, and I forked it, and I tweaked it a little bit, and I have mine. It's called Cool Treats. I don't have any demos in it. I've been spending all my time working on the Cool the Treats tool. Thing instead of the demos. Yes. That's my exploration. But what makes these things really cool is that for Wes's hot tips idea, you really just have to create a folder, have an HTML file, and that's it. And then
you don't even need a folder. Yeah.
You just need an HTML file, right? And then when you have that process being run, obviously there's a development process there, but typically it's something you already have pre-set up. So that way when you're inspired, you create an HTML file or you create a folder, or a HTML and a JavaScript or even a TypeScript file, and then you just navigate to it and it runs.
Yeah. So it's a folder with every single demo that I'm working on. So anytime I want to fiddle or fuss with something, I go into it's a folder called code, and I either make a folder if it's going to be more than one files, or I just make an HTML file if it's a single file, and I name it whatever I want, and I type npm start. And what that does is it fires up a Vite server that will also give you a directory listing of all the files in there. I've separated that part out into an npm package called vitdir. So if you type npx vitdir, it will just immediately fire that right up for you. But I've taken it one step further in my hot tips repo, where I can have like a nested package JSON if I want to have my own project inside of it. And then, but I can still just run it from the same process, which is really nice. But then I can also, I have one prettier config for it. I can override it per project if I want to. It's all compiled on demand. So you visit some crazy navigator.new thing, and it will just fire up a server, has SSL certificates already for you. I have tips.localhost mapped to it, so I can go directly to that. It has library load built right in, and when you type npm start, it automatically opens up the latest edited HTML file in the browser. So I don't even have to like find where the folder is that I'm working on. And like, that is so handy just to be able to quickly get up and running. The one thing I don't have with it just yet, and I played around with it for a bit, is it's all in a GitHub repo, right? And if I want to send somebody, like the other day I sent Scott a media recorder example, and I said, you have to download it and run Vite whatever on that thing. Like, what would be cool is if I could run Vite development or Vite on demand via that in production. Like, I want a website I can send to people and they can also visit that. And I don't think that would be all that difficult to do, because there's no, like, I don't want to run a build command and run, like, have a million different inputs for each of those. I just want to be able to link somebody to an HTML file with TypeScript and CSS and node modules, and for it to just work. And I think you can do that with the programmatic Vite API.
Yeah, that would be a nice little upgrade, because if you think about it, you do kind of get like, if you start building enough demos, you get kind of like a whole little demo site going. Maybe you even attach that to your blog, or you link to it from here or there.
Yeah.
And suddenly what you're not doing is you're not linking to some third-party service that might not exist in 5 years. You're linking to your own stuff, and your own stuff that's backed by a Git and version control that's not living in a database. I think it's a really cool... So what I did, Wes, is I took your repo and I added like templating support to it. So basically... You can have an HTML wrapper. That way you can have base CSS for each of your demos. And then there, I made up a little, just like, it's not a specific actual templating language because it's not robust. It's just like a bracket percentage sign and then the name of the HTML file. Yeah. And it finds that as a HTML file and inserts it there. That way I have default CSS. I have a default header, and the default header has a like back to demos button, and then it has a show code button which links to GitHub. So that way any of the demos, you automatically have like a link to code button. That would be in preparation for this to be public. And it'd also be in preparation of me actually writing any real demos. I do have two demos. I have a web MIDI demo where I was experimenting with, I connected a MIDI keyboard to my computer and I was playing tones with it. And then I also did a demo with P3.js. Another thing that I added to mine just recently, Wes, was like a default template and then a template script. So I added the PNPM new and then the name of a demo. So if I want to create a new demo, PNPM new test, and it would create a folder with test.html and test.ts for me right there. So I wouldn't have to create those files or link them myself. Simple, basic.
That's
templating.
Every hot tip I do, make an index.html, hit exclamation mark tab to get HTML. Link up the script tag if it's external script tag. Link up the CSS.
This is just extremely simple scaffolding. Yeah,
takes 30 seconds out of it, and you're up and running, right? Like even on this podcast, sometimes we are talking about something and we need to go test something. I will do this process where I make the HTML file. So like sometimes it's even faster to do that.
Yeah, yeah. You have the cool thing is if it's your demo engine, you get to do stuff like that to it. You can take somebody else's base system and start to add on to it. But the reason why I like this approach more than anything else, besides the fact that it's running locally on your machine and it's fast for those reasons, right? You're not on off some third party service. You get all of your own local tools. If you are a Vim user, if you're a NeoVim user, if you're a VS Code user, whatever, you get to use that stuff without having to use some web UI for an editor where you hit Command S and Arc pops open the side menu because they have bound Command S to the browser as a shortcut. You know, it's stuff like that where you get to actually work in a real IDE, a real text editor, and with all of your shortcuts and your fonts and all that stuff. And it feels so much nicer than typing in a web UI. Nothing beats it.
I'm even thinking like, you know, Bun has like the file system router.
Yeah.
Is there something there that you could do? Because there's like another thing I kind of miss, and this might be getting ahead of myself, but sometimes I think, oh, this demo would be better if it just had a little bit of reactivity. Mm-hmm. And I find myself loading Preact's signals library, which is every time I say it, I have to say it's not React only. Preact signals library works with vanilla JavaScript. And it's really nice because you can, like for my webcam example, when you want to get the user's webcams, like the list of all of the available webcams, you first have to request one of the webcams. And then once you have access to that, you can get a list of all of them. And what I did is I just created an empty array of webcams. And then once I have access to it, I simply just update that array. And then it's all reactive. It just updates, right? It's like a JavaScript library without the overhead of having to do that type of thing. I would love that, but maybe even a little further with some maybe like a server-side route as well.
I'm going to tell you, I used that Bun file routing for my Hype framework that I was working on with HTMX. It was definitely easy. It was really cool. A lot of basically it just gives you a function that allows you to look inside of a folder, and then it gives you files to load, and you can load which ones you want easily enough. For me, if they were Svelte, I had to run it through the Svelte like compile function or whatever it ends up being. You can return any HTTP response. So if it's just an HTML file, you can just return it as an HTML response.
Oh, so I could throw an HTML file or a JSX file in there and say when it's HTML, then run it through Vite, and
you'd like have to use JSX. The programmatic version of Vite, which I have not done, but yeah.
That's exactly what I was working on. I was like, I just want to run Vite dev mode in production, you know? But then I also don't want to like run a server every single time. I wanted to run it serverless. So I had built a demo that inlined, that ran Vite against the HTML file and inlined everything. Every image was base64, all the CSS and all the JavaScript was inlined, and it actually worked pretty good, but it needed that like last step.
Why's it got to be serverless?
Because I guess it doesn't have to be, but like I just didn't want to be running an entire server just for this type of thing. Boy. I wanted to just do it on demand, but like, I don't know, I could throw it on. Even like now I want to try Coolify, so maybe I should be doing it in a long-running server. Then I just have to run Vite, right?
Yeah, it's not like the server won't be able to handle it.
I mean, how long will the really Vite efficient dev server run? Oh, I just restart it every hour or two. No, it runs more than that. It runs longer than that. I sometimes have stuff running for weeks.
Yeah, couldn't you just have it even be watched with Forever or whatever anyways? Yeah. Or, I mean, Coolify would do that for you.
Yeah, you're making me think.
I know. There's so many cool things here. And in fact, it's like, it's hard not to get bogged down in that stuff. Cause for me, man, I like working on that kind of stuff. I could go nuts working on this stuff all day. But another cool thing here beyond bringing your own tools is like you mentioned, if you're hosting this in like a parent project, you can do things like having all of your formatters or linters or all that stuff set up and configured once. We all complain about config files being an absolute mess. Can you imagine anytime you're spinning up a demo, you have a new project with 100 config files in it or whatever you have, you know, even if it's just four. This, you get to have them once, and then you can, you know, you can override them if you put them in the folder. And I think that's like a really nice thing to be able to do, right? You can use your standardized way of doing things. Not only that, you can share CSS. You can write one CSS variables file and use that in all your projects, or maybe you're linking it with post CSS. It could be your project. You can do anything with it. And I think that's just a really nice little hack. If you take an hour or two to set up something like this, even just fork Wes's and just, you know, make your own demos instead of using his, that's it. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, I'll link it up in the show notes here. But again, you don't even need to fork mine. You just run npx vdir, and it'll give you an HTML file for the root, and then you can just start making files from there on out. I made it specifically for my TypeScript course because we have so many little demos that I want to be able to navigate to. And then having like a package JSON for every single demo is brutal, you know? Brutal. Like, and then you got a node modules for every single one, and then you got a finished version and a not. And it's just like, before you know it, you've got 18 different node modules, and it's just too much. And it's also hard to share that stuff too. I love so much about the Hot Tips repos. You just give somebody an HTML file. And the only weird thing is that it's linking to a TypeScript file instead of a JavaScript file. But
that's probably best. Yeah, that's probably for the best, honestly. I like that you get to use those types of things. Let's talk about working with data really quick here, because anybody who's worked in SQL-based databases know that the moment that you want to start saving data somewhere, you're like, oh, I got to write my schemas. I got to worry about migrations and all that stuff. So let's talk about what are the easiest ways to get data for something like this. A low-key, super easy way to have data stored is just write it to a file. You could just write data to a file if it's local or anything like that. You have access to Node. You can just write data to a file. You can even throw it in local storage if you want to throw it in local storage, and it doesn't need to be like permanent data or something like that.
Yeah, that's usually what I go for, because I find myself making these demos and then I find myself wanting to save some of this data. And usually when I'm doing like a server-side version of it, I just run TSX, and TSX stands for TypeScript Execute, and it runs like a quick node server, or I'll just run Bun or Dino. Mm-hmm. And then you say, I want to save this data, but I don't want to have to do the whole schema definition thing. I just want to save it somewhere really quickly. And a file is really good at that. If not, there's a package I've used quite a bit called LowDB. I've used another one called DiskDB, but I just looked it up, and there's like, I feel like I might be the only person that actually uses it. It's got like 100 downloads a month or something like that. But LowDB is a schemaless database that will write to file. And it's kind of like local storage, right? You just put, but when you restart the process, your data is still there. Key value is also really good for that type of thing. And now those are built into Bun and Dino. So key value is a good spot to throw stuff as well if you really don't care about the schema.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned being the only user or something like that. There was a package that I was using that was just a caching in JavaScript memory, or it's just caching in memory, right, in JavaScript. But the only thing that the package was special about it is that it had the complete Redis API. So you could use the same Redis code you had before, but it was saving it to local memory. And I don't know, I was like the only person using this package. The same thing, I was like, I thought this was something everybody was using. And I looked at that, I was like, huh, 100 people using this thing? Okay.
That's great. I also will reach for SQLite and do a quick Drizzle schema because it's not that big of a deal to write a quick Drizzle schema. The SQLite database is just a file in your folder, so you don't have to run a server or something like that. The only annoying thing I find with that is that you have to do the schema, and then you got to generate the migration file, and then you got to apply the migration file. So that's obviously it's somewhat quick, but when I'm just like playing really quickly, sometimes I just want to just save it somewhere really quickly as fast as I can.
Yeah, I think that that's the key. That LowDB seems like the best option for writing to a file. Also, people who are experienced with Google Sheets, you know, you can write stuff to Google Sheets as well, and that's a free database, you know, it's a CSV. You can just throw it into Google Sheets. I don't do that a lot myself, but I know a lot of people do. So the exact process for that, I'm not going to outline here, but it's an option. It's a free database. It's a CSV. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there was one the other day. Let's find it. Hold on.
Okay.
I don't know if this is it or not, but I remember seeing people use Google Sheets, but like have a JSON API for it really easily. Because I imagine using the Google Sheets API is a whole day of procuring API keys and whatnot in that Google thing. So SheetDB, turn a Google spreadsheet into a JSON API.
Yeah. Well, if you're out there and you do some fun demos and have your own process for doing this, or maybe even some interesting ways to quickly and easily store data if you need to do that, leave a comment. The best place to do that is on YouTube. So youtube.com/@syntaxfm. This episode will be a video on YouTube. You can leave a comment there and we read all the comments. So I want to see what types of cool demo apps you're building, where you're building them, how you're building them, and maybe tell us like what services do you prefer? You know, do you like Valtown? Do you like Observable? Do you like Replit? What's your vibe? Are you doing all the stuff bespoke like Wes and I are? Hot tips and cool treats. So
cool treats is so good.
I had to do a reference to what you were doing, and I, you know, didn't want to, you know, had to put my own spin on it.
I like it. That's good. It's like Dairy Queen.
It's exactly what it is. Yes.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Catch you later.
Peace.
Peace.